Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Welcome to Power in the Word. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons. It is a beautiful day to be alive. God is good and worthy to be praised. Oh, yes, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. He is worthy. He is worthy to be praised. Amen. Amen. I didn't quite know exactly what I was going to bring to you today, but today is an important day, primarily because we are alive and we are here and we're serving God, and that's a good thing. Another reason that is a very important day is because this is the day that the primaries in Obama and Clinton are coming in for the close. Amen. They are coming to the finish line of the primaries. So today we will be talking about Obama, Senator Obama and Senator Clinton pertaining to this election year. And this is a first for me. This is a first for me because I have not talked about the elections on this program. But I want to talk to some more Christian people about what we are feeling about this particular election where there has been so much controversy, so much going on. So we're going to get into that a little bit later on today, and the phone lines will be open for you to call in. We're also going to talk about worry. Don't worry, trust God. That is a word for somebody today. Don't worry, trust God. Know that God is on your side, and he's going to bring you through. So we'll be talking about that, and also I will be bringing you today's proverb. Remember, we're in the middle of a book giveaway, so you want to make sure that you are partaking of the book giveaway, which I will tell you about right after we pray. Let us pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, I praise your holy name. Lord, I worship you. You are worthy to be praised. There's none like you, and I magnify your name today. God, I give you the glory, the honor, and the praise just because of who you are. You are worthy, God. You are worthy to be praised. I thank you, Lord, for mercy and grace, which are new every day. I thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy, which follow me, which follow every listener everywhere that we go, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are right on time, God, and thank you that you have a great plan for us, your people. So, Lord, we give this time to you and ask that you come and be in our midst. Let your Holy Spirit come in and take over, save souls, change lives, God. Let your will be done. Heal the sick, set the captives free, God, in the name of Jesus. Be glorified in this hour. And at the end of the day, at the end of the day, we will be ever so sure to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. And it's in the precious name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen and praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good and worthy to be praised. The chat room is open. You can come into the chat room to fellowship with others who are on their way. I want to welcome everybody to the chat room. I want to welcome everybody who's streaming and say hello and God bless you to everyone who is listening via the archive. I want you to call in. The phone lines are open from right now, the beginning of the program and to the end, 646-652-4832. And you can even start out on any of the topics that we have posted. Also, I want to tell you about the book giveaway. We are having a book giveaway, and I am giving away books. I have been blessed to write four books, five, including the book that I wrote with my daughter Kayla. I have written Nobody's Business, which is a novel about a woman who gives other people advice, but when it comes to her own life, things are quite a mess. I have also written Daddy Love, which is a book about a beautiful woman looking for love in all of the wrong places. I recently wrote Pump Up the Power, Get the Life You Want, which is a motivational, inspirational book to catapult you to the next level, to take you to the top. Amen. Amen. And also I've written The Cry of a Woman's Heart, Healing the Pain of the Past, Traveling the Road to Victorious Living. You will see The Cry of a Woman's Heart and Pump Up the Power on that page as you sign in. And you can order those directly from that spot. You can go right to Amazon.com and get a copy of those books. It's great ministry. It is great ministry. And if you buy them, when you buy them, you are blessing me and you are blessing yourself or the person that you have in mind to give the book to, because there's some great ministry within the covers of those books. But guess what? I'm giving away in less than a month, on the 22nd of June, I will be giving away six of those books, a three-book set, a two-book set, and one-book gift of any of the three books that you would desire to have. Amen. So if you don't have the money right now, which I can say that I know that you are blessed and highly favored and that you have more money than you know what to do with, So I won't even say that. So if you want to wait and see if you can win them, then go ahead and do that. If you need them right now, that something hit you about the titles, go ahead and buy a copy of one of those books and bless my ministry. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So yes, that's the book giveaway, and I will be taking names of people that I see come into the chat room, people that call in, and at the end of the time, the most frequent caller, the most frequent listener will get the books. And if you don't listen, today's book code is R05. So if you can't call while we're live, you can email me at powerintheword1, that's the number one, at yahoo.com, powerintheword1@yahoo.com, and tell me that you listen and you want to be put in to win the books. Amen and praise God. So it's R05 is our book code today. Let's go into today's topics. Again, the phone lines are open, 646-652-4832. Let's go into today's topics. Let's talk about worry. I'm going to bring today's topic from today's proverb. Amen. Hallelujah. And today's proverb comes from Proverbs chapter 3. And before I do that, I do see I have a caller, so I said the phone lines were open. So we're going to open up the phone line right away, and because we're only here for an hour, and these topics can get hot, and we can get caught up, and I want to talk to you primarily today. Caller 347, you're on the air. Welcome to Power in the Word. Caller 347, I have to unmute you. You're on the air. Welcome to Power in the Word. I'm not unmuting you yet. Just bear with me. Okay, you're on the air. Welcome to Power in the Word.
God bless you, Pastor Rebecca. This is Evangelist Jose Luciano.
God bless you, Evangelist Jose Luciano. Good to hear from you today, sir.
Say amen and amen. Amen. I don't want to take any time you have, but I just called to first, God bless you and your husband, your ministry.
Thank you.
And also to remind you that the chat is not on.
The chat is not working or it's not on?
It's not on.
Okay. I'm in there, but you can't get in.
Yeah, I cannot get in.
Okay. Let's see what's going on with that. Okay, I'm looking at it again. What I'll do, I thank God for you, because what I'm going to do is close down my switchboard and go back in there. Do you have anything to say on any of the topics while you're on the air?
No, I'm blessed by your ministry and by your church. You know, you're bringing questions that need to be brought up that people sometimes are afraid to approach it because, you know, your answer may be different from the answer of those who are calling, but we need to express how we feel, especially in this. I was reading your description. You asked about Obama and Clinton and all that, and that within the church arena, we have division in that.
Yeah.
And that's good that you're bringing that up, because, you know, whether my answer is different from yours, we don't let that divide the body of Christ.
Amen. I mean,
that's what the devil wants. He wants division in the church.
Yes.
And what we need to do is, you know, even if we think different based on who's going to be president, it should not stop us of fellowshipping with each other because I think different from you or vice versa.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, the thing about the reason that I brought it up today is because, yes, it is the last day of the primaries, and I've been watching it very closely as we speak. You know, I've been watching it, and, you know, I think it's a beautiful thing that they're both running.
Yes.
I a lot of people, and the thing, another thing is some people are not even Democrats. Some people are Republicans. So that's a whole other story. So we're not talking about what party you're in or who you're going to vote for. You know, just basically I wanted to talk about this particular match here between Senator Obama and Senator Clinton to say, you know what, we have now gotten to the last leg of the primaries, and neither one of them wants to give up, of course. Senator Clinton says that she's going to keep going until the end, that she's not giving up the race. And, of course, we know that Senator Barack Obama is in the lead. So I just really wanted to know what people thought as to do they think that she should actually quit and give up and let him go ahead and be the candidate for presidency. Do you have an opinion on that at all?
I think as you know, we had Clinton 4 years ago at least, and you know he's a person that, you know, do not quit. So you know you expect the wife to do the same. She's not going to give up because, at least, you know, if she does not make it, people cannot say that she tried.
Yes.
And she had a lot of opposition. And you know the bad thing about it is people take that and say it's a race game. You know, she's white, he's
right.
Black. She's a woman, he's a man. So they're bringing that. They're not even listening to what they are saying, but they're actually judging based on what they see.
Yeah.
You know, and that's bad when you're gonna choose a leader. You know. And to bring it down to home, you know, that's how people pick leaders within the churches based on the what comes to mind is when the prophet went to Jesse's house because God told him, you know, the next
go ahead, preacher.
I feel it.
Yeah, go ahead, preacher.
The next leader is here, but. And he brought the best.
Mm.
He brought the best son, the best equipped, the best talented.
The best looking,
Good looking. I say, you know, we need in Israel the best. But God had somebody in the backside road, you know, nowhere to be found, not even smelling good, possibly calluses in his hands.
Yeah.
You know, smelling
yes.
Like cheap. But those that God picked, And I think as Christians, we need to really look at these people, these two individuals, and say, God, let me see what you see. Let me see somebody that really love you.
Yes.
Not only say it. Because, you know, people say, oh, you know, I personally think that Obama, what he did concerning about that pastor, that was good. He needs to get out from the negativity and you know, because that was really bringing him down.
Yeah.
You know, because he was not saying anything positive. And there's a saying that, you know, look who you go with and I'll tell you who you are.
Mm.
So he had to pull out. And people in I believe the Yesterday Daily News made fun of that. And people, you know, ran with it. But I think he did a good deal by pulling away and you know, reestablishing himself with a positive role model in his life and not a radical hatred And I'm sorry to say a preacher, a pastor. And
yeah.
It's sad because people like that make us as Christian leaders look bad. And again, I thank God that he did that. But I think we need to do like what God wants us to do. Look at them, not based on the appearance, but they sold out to God.
Amen. Amen. And that's a word right there. It's a powerful word that we, that's one of the things that I wanted to tell the listeners, and I don't know what's going on with my chat room. For those of you who are listening and you're trying to get into the chat room, I'm in the chat room. Evangelist Luciano, have you tried it again?
Yeah, I as I was talking, I was reloading and I was logging in and logging out. And, it's not
and what is it doing? Is it just not letting you in at all?
It don't even say chat. You know, side, it's going to say click to chat. Don't even
yes.
have that.
It doesn't even say click chat.
Yeah.
Off of my profile when you listen.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I'm still working on that for those of you. And for those of you who usually come in and chat, this would be a good time for you to lend your voice to this conversation,
yeah.
to this particular program, because we need to hear what Christians are feeling about this without a whole lot of arguing and fussing, because you know I don't do that here. And I believe that we dwell together in unity here. You know, even when we disagree, we agree to disagree. Amen. But I want to have you call in, and the number is 646-652-4832. And one of the things that I was going to tell Christians before I pick up our next caller, area code 760, is that we have to look at who we're voting for as leaders, as we select the leader. Evangelist Luciano made a very valid point when he said that man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And he used the story of when the prophet had to go over to the house of Jesse looking for David. So we have to know that God already has picked out the leader, but we do have a part in it. We're going to vote, but we have to look at this thing. What are they promising? What are the issues? Where do they stand on the issues? We have the war. We have health insurance. Those are in the forefront, tax cuts. But how about these other moral issues like abortion and same-sex
mm-hmm.
marriage? You know, these are other things that we need to know where and civil, not even marriage, but the civil unions. We need to know where do our politicians, where do our candidates stand on these issues. So it's not the fact that it's just a black man and a white woman running for president. I think it's a wonderful thing. They're making history. Both of them, history has already been made. But what else is there to be said about this year's election? Area code 760, you're on the air. Welcome to Power in the Word.
Hi, Pastor Rebecca. It's JoJo.
Hi, JoJo. God bless you. Good to have you on the air today.
Thank you. It's really a very important message I think you have for everyone today. It's people get all up in arms about this, and I must admit, there isn't any candidate that really reflects my values. I'm a Republican, but I do not stand with everything that McCain stands for. I was very disappointed in the Republican side of it. But I really think the more important point is what you're saying is that God has already decided and God is in charge. And no matter what happens, none of the candidates who would become president can change that fact. God is in charge.
Absolutely, he is in charge. But JoJo, then a lot of people would say, well, and as I was saying it, I thought this question popped into my head because I said the same thing, that it's already ordained who our next candidate will be. Does that mean that we don't vote?
No, because we have, as you said, we have a part in that. And I think, as you said, what is most important is that we vote our morals, our values, and our conscience. And
yes.
Unfortunately, there isn't anybody that I can vote for that really reflects my values. We have, you know, the best of the those that are left to choose from. And I think that's really always the case, because who is the perfect leader? Only God.
Yes.
You're not going to find the perfect leader of a country, of, you know, our lives, in anyone else but God. And since God is not running for the President of the United States, we have an imperfect choice, don't we?
I vote for God. I'm with you. I vote for God. And the thing about it is, I think the most important thing for us all to remember is that no matter who does become president, God will continue to be in control. He will continue to be in control. And I just thank you both for calling in and adding to this topic because it is very important. And I'm just elated that our country has gotten to the place where we can actually have, you know, and I'm saying this as an African-American woman, as a black woman, that we can actually have a black man running for president. But the fact that I'm elated does not mean that I run out and forget everything else that stands behind this election and pull the lever just because he's a black man.
Right, exactly. And I think we need to get past those points. I think you're right. It is an awesome part of history where we now have people of all shapes and sizes and colors and, you know, that can run. Because the point is not, though, what they look like on the outside. The point is what they stand for on the inside and whether or not they're up to the challenge of leading the most powerful nation in the world. That's the point, and whether or not they're going to do what we have, what our values say. That's how we should vote. It should make it makes no difference to me when I choose my friends, when I choose the friends for my children, whether the person has one color skin or the other. It shouldn't make any difference. It's not what's on the outside. It's what's on the inside. Always.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. I totally agree with that. And I agree with it totally, but I have to be really, really honest and say that you can't help, you know, but see it. You know, color, we have to talk about the big pink elephant in the room. You know, because you can't help but see the differences in the skin tones of our candidates, just like we have friends. You know, my daughter goes to a school up here where we live, which is it's urban, but it's on the edge of a suburb. And her friends are black, white, Indian, Latino. You know, so she has a rainbow of friends, you know, as far as their races go. And, you know, I love the thing about children because it's like almost like, it's like they're colorblind. They don't see their friends the way that we would see our friends, you know, because we've already been jaded.
Can I share with you something? Can I share with you something?
Yes.
Because, you know, it always bothered me that people labeled people by certain colors because I've never seen a truly black person and I've never seen a truly white person.
Wow.
And think about that. Two, it does not really describe that person. And there are so many shades in between that people are that I truly am colorblind when I look at people because what your color skin is different than your husband's, is different than your children. It's nobody is exactly the same, and you certainly can't label people black, white.
That's
because
good.
Nobody truly is. It's a really kind of a dumb way to label people.
That's
if you
good.
Think about it. And
when
so,
you think
to
about
me,
it.
Everyone is so unique and special, down to the color of their skin. I guarantee you, if you looked at this scientifically, no two people have exactly the same color skin.
Well, let's go back biblically to the garden. Let's go back to the garden. You know, if we believe the creation story, then we know that Adam and Eve were the first man and woman created, and we are the children of Adam and Eve. There were no different groups of people that God created.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if we believe the Bible, and I do, then we're all sisters and brothers anyway.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. But the world has become so conditioned. You know, that's why I talk about the pink elephant, because the world has
become.
And it's
unfortunate, because really there is no way to label people. We shouldn't be labeling people. Everyone is special, different, and unique. And you really can't label them anything or another.
Yeah, I pray for the day. And you know what, JoJo and Evangelist Luciano, the thing about it is we have to start as Christians to know that God is no respecter of persons, and to continue to live our lives that way, not to look at somebody's skin color and judge them on the color of their skin, or in this case, validate them or be in their corner because of the color of their skin, but to say, you know what, who is this person, and why should I endorse this person?
You know, Pastor Rebecca?
Yes.
And this is amazing because if it's possible for an African American to get that far in the election, it's like an open door to any race to reach that goal also.
Amen.
You know what I'm
it
saying?
It could be.
And I thank God that God's using this man to open the door for, I'm speaking as a Hispanic, and, you know, and how God opened doors for him, how much more a Hispanic could run for president, or an Asian, or a brother from Africa, you know, of Ethiopia. He opened the door for many, non-white, who's running for that office. So
right.
It's like an open door for a lot of people who are not, you know, American, you know, so to say.
Yeah, and I agree.
White males.
What did you say, JoJo?
White males, because traditionally that's what it's been, white males. Now the door is open for women and for people of all colors, shapes, and size. I mean, that is not what matters. What matters is what's on the inside, what they stand for. And that's what we ought to be looking at, not just in a presidential candidate.
Exactly. As far as who becomes president, it does not matter what, you know, the race and everything. But as far as the opportunity, that's what we're talking about. That opportunity that has not been afforded. You know, I think about the woman who just got fired from Wall Street recently, and I'm going to take area code 212 after I say this. There was a woman, I believe her last name was Luz, and she had worked, she was from Greece, and she had worked 25 years in this firm on Wall Street. She was up to be the first woman CEO of a Wall Street firm. And just before her boss retired, she was called in and she was fired because they told him it was going to be him or her, and he said it might as well be her. But they say it was discrimination, that they didn't want a woman CEO, so they made sure she wasn't fired. They asked her to retire. And, you know, it's a horrible thing where women, because of gender or race, we don't even have the opportunity. And like I said, it's special for me because it is a woman running and a black person. Or JoJo said that. JoJo, I laughed when you said you never saw a black person because we saw some black people. We were somewhere, and they had these black mannequins, and their faces were painted black. So we thought that when they were beautiful, so we thought it was cute. Our whole family laughed at that because it was the first time that we really, you know, saw black people. We're going to take this call. Area code 212, I'm going to put you on the air.
God bless.
You're on the air. Welcome to Power in the Word.
God blesses me, Pastor Fran. God bless Evangelist Jose and everyone else that's listening out there.
God bless you, Pastor Fran. And I want to say, Pastor Fran, I want you to say what you have to say. I welcome you to Power in the Word. My chat room is out. I went back and I looked at how you all, the listeners, are getting in, and for some reason, I believe this is not the first time because I didn't have anybody in the chat room the last time I was on the air. So the phone lines are open. We still have room for more callers to call in and participate in this very important conversation that we're having on this program today. So, and then email me with your book code for those of you who want to be in the book drawing, which is the book code today, I believe I said, was R0. I have so much paper. The book code is R05, I believe, and I'll give it again later on. Pastor Fran, welcome to the program.
Thank you. You know, it's often that we get into these conversations, and as the Spirit always stirs me, and since I talk a lot about spiritual warfare, not to change the subject.
Yes.
I think about the Word of God and what does the Word of God say in the end of times, and I ask the Lord in spirit and in truth, Lord, does your word say in the end of time we'll have a black or Hispanic or even a man of God, you know, forget about nationality. And when I think about what the Word of God talks about the end of times, it says that the Antichrist will be someone in great power, in great political power. So when I think about that, I don't think in my spirit, and, you know, of course I could be wrong, that they will be a woman or a man of God in that position. So I really don't get too much into that topic about who is going to be the president, who is going to be the best candidate. I just reflect on what the times that we're living, and the times we're living is an Antichrist spirit and an Antichrist person who is going to be in that type of position.
Amen. But in the meantime, before we, do you believe that the position is the presidency?
I think it's a great possibility. It's a great possibility.
So do you vote? Do you actually go out on election day and vote as a Christian?
To be honest with you, in the past I have, but right now my spirit doesn't lead me to. But I believe that we all should, you know, in the flesh, and being a major in political science and thinking about, you know, when I majored in political science back in Buffalo University, the first thought that I got when Obama ran for office was a split vote. Split vote syndrome, which, you know, the split vote is having someone run for office that you know they're really not gonna win, but is only to stop the one that the poor people want to win. So I don't know if that's the avenue that has been used for either the woman or the brother. I don't know. But what I do know that the Word of God says that the Antichrist will be something of great political power.
Yes, and you know, as you were speaking, I thought about the scripture that says a house divided against itself cannot stand,
which is
another reason that I put the question on the board, should Senator Clinton actually drop out of the race to get rid of the division? Because right now there's division and confusion in the Democratic Party.
Which we know that's all characteristics of the enemy.
Yeah, that's not of God. What do you have to say about that, Evangelist Luciano?
Praise God. Yeah, I personally don't like Clinton too much. You know, I don't want another 4 years of Clinton.
Okay,
you know?
Because of the scandal, and I tell you the truth.
I mean, when they run for an election, they could promise you the world, but in reality, they cannot really fulfill anything. You know, because it's almost like, you know, when, for example, Bush became president and they found out he was a Christian, all the Christians said, okay, now we're going to have all our Christian freedom and all that. But in reality, we didn't get nothing. You know, we still have, now they made it a law of safe sex marriage.
Yeah.
Now the abortion did not stop. It still continues.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that was a lot of promises, that and many more, and nothing came into fulfillment. So, you know,
I agree. I actually voted for Bush thinking, you know, based on what he had said, and I felt in my spirit at that time that he was true to what he was saying, and I've been disappointed, and I'm a Republican, was disappointed in what he did and what he failed to do. But at least at that point, I had a clear distinction about who I felt I should vote for. In this election, it was not that way at all. I really have a hard time voting in this election. My daughter is actually quite disappointed. She's just now 18. This is her first election, and she's very disappointed that she didn't have a candidate she could really get behind, at least, because we know that they do promise things and that they don't always fulfill their promises, but at least their promises are things you want them to do, and in this case, I can't really get behind any of them because a lot of what they're promising, I don't believe in on both sides.
And you know the sad thing about it, they went to the islands of Puerto Rico, both of them, and I know they gave them a speech and a half, and And that was like, I think, last week it was in Puerto Rico. One was in San Juan and the other one was somewhere else. Barack and Clinton. They both was in the same island, you know. And, you know, and again, they and not only that, you know, I'm just, within myself, you know, it's hard to pick because you don't really have a good, you know, good option. You don't have a good option. Now, my thing is, what would happen if the votes was all agreed, you know, that the votes was like nobody passed each other, everybody was even. What's going to happen? Will Bush run another 4 years president, or what's going to happen?
He can't run again. Bush can't run again.
Oh, he can't. Right. He's finished.
The candidate is McCain, whether we like it or not. The candidate is McCain.
Right, McCain.
We don't have a
choice. Candidate.
Right,
and McCain, I mean, the guy went through, okay, the Vietnam War. He went through a lot of, you know, he went through a lot of head problem. You know, he was tormented, and you know, he's kind of, you know, he smiles a lot at everything, but he looks like a type of person that, you know, if he had the power to touch the atomic bomb, he would touch it with no hesitation.
Well, I don't believe that, but there are a lot of things. I don't know if Pastor Rebecca wants to get into all the specifics, but there are certain things that I don't like about him, but I am a Republican, and for my values, that's where I'm going. I hate to say it, but
that's
where I'm going. But,
right.
You know, what I think is more important at this point for all Christians is to get behind the Lord. And we should be doing the things of the Lord and, you know, vote as best we can because we only have these choices. That's all we got. You know, I wish I could vote for God because that's what I would do if that's the respect of that.
Hallelujah. Amen. Pastor Fran, I'm right with you, too. And the thing about it is, and I figured that the election conversation would take us we're pretty much all away because my programs are always subject to change according to the power of the Holy Ghost. And I kind of let God take me where he wants to take me. But I do put stuff up just in case I need to fill time. And I the thing about it is we mentioned that we're Democrats, we're Republicans. And the thing about that, is there ever a time when a person who is a Democrat or Republican should ever cross the lines and say, you know what, the best candidate for me is not in the Democratic Party. Do I now vote Republican?
I think you have to vote your conscience, and it shouldn't, you know, because I will tell you, I've been a Republican, and but the way the Republican Party has gone, I am really no longer a Republican.
Okay.
So I think, yes, you do cross party lines to vote your conscience if that's how the Lord is leading you. And I'm not, you know, I'm not saying everybody should vote for a particular, you need to vote your conscience, I need to vote mine. But,
yes, and leave
you know,
it right there. And leave
it
right there.
Yeah, and I think that if your conscience has you cross party lines at this point, you do. I mean, if I saw a Democrat who I could totally get behind, I mean, there were certain shows on TV that I was watching, I won't mention them, but there was a character who was president who was a Democrat, and by the way, he was a black man, and I agreed with almost everything he said, and I would have voted for him had he been a real person.
And
I would vote for him in a heartbeat if he were a real person running right now.
And this is a movie. But the unfortunate thing about
it
is that all politicians,
mm-hmm.
Will pretty much say what they think they need to say to get elected. And we need to be looking for integrity. We need to be looking for, we need to be praying. The only way that we're going to see it, we're not going to be able to see this in the natural. We're all spiritual people. We're all Christians. And Pastor Fran, she hit the nail on the head. We need to go to God. We need to go to the Bible. We need to say, God, what do you say about this? What does your word say about this? And then we have to ask the Holy Spirit to show us what we need to see pertaining to this upcoming election. Because, look, like Evangelist Luciano said, we have now legalized, as a country, same-sex marriage.
And more
where
than that.
Two men. What did you say, JoJo?
And more than that.
And more than that. We so much. We've taken prayer out of school.
Uh-huh.
Abortion, like Evangelist said, is still legal. And our crime rate in our urban cities is escalating. Drug use across the board is escalating. Morals are declining. So believe me, the person who sits in the White House at the end of this year or January at the time of inauguration, it really is not going to make a big impact on our lives as Christians. We're not even citizens. We're citizens officially, but our home is not here. Mm-hmm. We're strangers. We're supposed to consider ourselves to be aliens here in this world, knowing that ultimately...
Don't you feel more and more like an alien in this world as time
goes by? Amen, amen. I would like to add something to that.
Go ahead, Pastor Fred.
I have a minister right now that I just got back from Florida, and she wants me to help her in her political campaign, and she's the international advocate for immigration. And she tells me, Pastor Fred, I know that the system is corrupt. She's worked closely with Senator Jeff Klein, but in the meantime, she's almost been homeless. I mean, she's been the instrumental key for him running and him winning in the past elections. And, you know, it's a very ugly picture for me. But at the same time, you know, I agree. We have to, you know, speak up now or forever hold your peace. And united we stand, divided we fall. And the Word of God shows us that he could even use a rock, you know, to glorify himself. And, you know, it's better for us to be part of the solution and not part of the problem. And part of the problem is that people don't speak up and people are not united. So, yes, we as a body of Christ, we have to come together in agreement, you know, which is the best out of the worst. And then let that one that we pick, let him or her know that we're going to be watching him and that he is accountable to a higher authority than the one that's here on this earth, regardless of what their religious beliefs are. But we need to be verbal and you know, put them, you know, accountable. That's a lot of problem with most of the politicians. They have no accountability to the people. You know, their accountability to their own, you know, the culprits that are in the system. I myself have been a victim of, you know, being discriminated, being illegally terminated from employment. You know, I know as a woman, especially a woman of God, that is very, very hard when you're in a political position, when you're in a leadership position. But again, there's power in prayer, and, you know, God's word says that in the last days we're going to see many things, but our hope and our faith is in the Lord.
That's right. And the last days are here. We are, you know, a lot of theologians would say that the last days began at the crucifixion of Christ.
Amen.
So we have to know that we are, you know, according to them, who knows, God says the time, only he knows the time, but we are in the last days. And the last days will come. I mean, everything that God has written in the Bible will come to fruition. Mm-hmm. It will manifest. So the thing about it is, we as Christians, do we worry? Do we get caught up in worrying? We're in the middle of a recession. You know, do we get so involved with the fact that pagans, I hate to use that word, somebody might send me a mean email, but people who are not Christians, do we get upset with the fact that people who are not Christians want to marry each other within their sex? I mean, do we get upset with the fact that people who don't have the awe and the reverence for God want to go and have abortions and kill their babies?
We don't get upset. I teach this one. Can I teach communication?
Yes, Jill, go ahead.
When we don't get upset, we do, as Pastor Fran said, speak out. We speak
Amen.
Out in love and in grace and respect.
Amen.
Because we should, because the Lord tells us we should. But getting upset about it is what I get upset about. When I hear people responding in hate or out of hate rather than out of love. Correction, yes, we need to stand up and we need to speak out, as Pastor Fran said. But we should not be upset about it. We shouldn't worry about it, as Pastor Rebecca said, because God is in control. I think we choose our leaders as best we can from the crop we have, which, you know, the crop this time, not so good, but we have the crop this time, and we pick the best. But we don't look to them for leadership. We look to God. We point our children to God. We point everyone we know to God for leadership. These people are only temporarily in control, in power, in this country at this time. That's it. And they're only been given that by the power of God. God knows, God allowed. That's the only reason they're there.
Amen. I do
Amen.
Want you to know that there is a chat room now. Woohoo! So the chat room is up for those who want to come into the chat room. God bless you, Jay Strickland. Welcome to our guest. JoJo, that was eloquently spoken. JoJo is the founder and president of Art of Eloquence, which is a communications company, and she actually teaches people to effectively voice their opinions, to effectively stand up for themselves verbally, to effectively go on job interviews and be able to ace the interview, everything having to do with communication.
Well, I do have to correct you on one thing.
Go
I'm
ahead.
Not the president. The president
oh.
is God.
Amen.
God
Hallelujah.
Is the owner of that business. I simply work here.
She works there. God is the president. And JoJo, your website is artofeloquence.org.com.
Yeah.
Artofeloquence.com, and you can check out JoJo over there. But we're talking about this upcoming election, and I've had the pleasure of having three people on the air with me who have given the voice some great opinions and insight into this upcoming election. And the question still becomes, should Senator Clinton stay in the race? Or should she quit? Should she give up and let the candidate be Senator Obama?
I personally think she's going to have no choice. I really don't. I really think he will be the choice, but I also do feel that he will not win the presidency, Obama. I think McCain will win the presidency, but I think really she has no choice at this point. There really isn't much behind her anymore.
And she's out of money. She said that she's low on funds. And,
oh, I don't know about that. I don't know.
So that woman got money. And I think she's going to spend all that money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, would you quit at this point if you were her?
You know, if I were her and I really believed in what I was talking about, then no, I wouldn't. Because I would feel, unless the Lord told me to quit, let's put it this way. I mean, I would seek God.
Okay.
Guidance, and if God told me to keep going against all odds, I would do that if I believed in what. I just don't know that she really believes in what she's saying enough. I think she seems like she wants it regardless. She likes the power.
Okay, well, I'm looking at the chat board. See, the chat board came right on time. Jay Strickland's in our chat room, and she says that she gave up today.
Oh,
she gave up today. It was on CNN. And that she is now endorsing Obama. Before I did the program today, I did look at the news, and I saw that that was one report that was out. But then there was another report saying that it wasn't true, that she was not giving up. So what time did you get your reports? Jay Strickland, was that just recently?
And Pastor Rebecca, you know what will be so funny?
Yeah.
You know what would be so funny? If Obama told Hillary Clinton to be vice president.
Wow. Well, do you think that will happen? Do you think that she will actually run with him on the ticket? That's the next question I wanted to ask.
I don't think she would.
Pastor Fran?
I don't think so either. For some reason,
they
I don't think so.
Like each other.
Well, they
mm-hmm.
said they, no, well, then they're both liars. Because
yeah.
they said
oh, yeah.
that they were friends.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. They both say, yeah. If they don't like each other, then
they
are both lying.
They have to. She has to support. If she drops out, she has to support him. But I don't really think she likes him, and I really don't think he likes her. And I don't see her accepting second fiddle.
Wow. Neither do I see him doing that either. So, who's going to be our vice president?
I don't know.
Only daddy
on either side.
Either side. Who's running with McCain?
Nobody yet.
Nobody.
And that's what Fran said. So Pastor Fran said only daddy knows.
Mm-hmm.
Did you say that, Pastor Fran?
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
Amen.
Pastor.
Father knows.
Only father knows. Let's see if he give us a vision.
Amen. And he may do that, he said, because it has not been seen by the eyes or the ear heard. we haven't seen it, but he said the Spirit reveals it. So
Amen.
You're right. He may give us a vision. But the thing about it is, at the end of the day, I'm not worried about another war. And we can't, you know, this is for the Christians out there who, you know, are saying, well, you know, if the Republicans stay in, then the war won't end. And you know, if the Democrats get in, you know, I hope they will end the war. The war is going to end when it's time for the war to end. I mean, it's just the most unfortunate thing to say. But God did say that if my people who are called by my name will turn from their wicked ways and humble themselves and pray, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal the land. I will heal the nation. And he was talking to the Israelites at that time. We know that. But we know that here in America, there are many of God's people. We are still his people. But at the same time, there are many people who refuse God, who don't want God. And they have done everything that they can to wipe God out of the picture. So, you know, we have to realize that America has really, really turned her back on God, you know, if you want
That's
to look at it
That's what
as
we
a whole.
Christians should be worried about.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, and still we have compassion as Christians because we are secure in our hope, which is Jesus Christ, and we know that we have eternity with Christ. A lot of us don't want to see our time here end because we become really attached to life here on earth.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about it is it must end. Life as we know it
mm-hmm.
must end, and I believe that eternity is going to be better because I'm going to be with my Lord. But the thing about it is do we pray enough as Christians? Are we fasting? Are we praying? Are we wailing out on the behalf of our nations? Forget about worrying. Are we praying enough for things to change? And do you believe that will be effective?
Well, me personally, when we talk about praying, I think we need to pray more for the leaders in the church because there's a whole lot of churches that are entertaining and not doing what God has called them to
Amen.
Do.
Wow.
So that's like a great burden in my heart and in my ministry, the leaders of the church. I mean, I just got back from Florida, and I don't even want to take up your time into what I saw over there, which was, I know it's all over, but put it like this. There's a church that I went to that 10,000 members, and the pastor of the church finished buying a whole lot of sand to put in front of the church with a whole lot of beach chairs, and girls are going in with G-strings.
No. Oh,
yes.
Jesus.
Yes. Great family church.
No,
and I'll be doing a show about that, by the way.
Oh, well, what is your show URL? So
Pastor Fran, Spiritual Warfare.
And that is here on Blog
wow.
Talk Radio.
Yes.
And what time and day will you be doing your show?
That show, I'm going to do it at the end of the month, the last Tuesday of the month at 5:30, because I will be interviewing a young lady minister who they just threw out of the church.
Pastor Rebecca, would you do me a favor and everyone on the Christian Women of Power group and let us know, give us a reminder about her show?
I sure will. Pastor Fran, we're going to post a reminder. We have a group of women, Christian Women of Power, and we will make sure that they get notification of that show
yes.
when I get it. So make sure that you email me and let me know about it.
Yes, I will, Pastor Rebecca.
Amen. Praise God. You know, I'm going to extend my program today because I'm traveling. I'm going to North Carolina on tomorrow morning to preach down at Tri-Faith Ministries in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. My husband and I will be there on the 5th and the 6th. We'll
Praise
be there
God.
On the 4th, but we'll be preaching on the 5th and the 6th for those of you in the North Carolina area. I believe Jay Strickland is down there. And I would love to meet you if you're in that area. So we're going to be on a little longer today because I won't have a program on Wednesday or Thursday. And I do want to, the chat room is up now, and I do want to continue speaking about this topic on the election and give other people the opportunity to voice their insights, and I don't say opinions, but their insights into this particular topic. The phone line is 646-652-4832. The book code for today is R05, and that's for the book prizes that I'll be giving away on the 22nd. Right now I'm on the air with Pastor Fran, JoJo Tabarez of Art of Eloquence, and Evangelist Jose Luciano. And we've been talking about the upcoming election, which I know a lot of Christians have talked about it. I decided to talk about it today because it's the last day for the primaries. So I want to have you call in if you have something to say about this particular topic, even talking about the end times. Pastor Fran brought up the end times today and saying that the person that is the Antichrist is going to be a political figure with great power, a person of power and a person of influence. And I want you to just call in and let me know what your thoughts. Are you voting for Obama, if you want to even go that far? Are you voting for, since it's, Jay Strickland has given us the news, thank you, Jay Strickland, that Senator Hillary Clinton has dropped out. She's endorsing Obama. She is now endorsing Senator Obama, and that news came out this morning. The website is, it's political, is on the chat room. For those of you who want to come into the chat room, you can click on that link and see the story.
Pastor Rebecca,
yes.
Can I ask you a question? What would be, I mean, this is an open question, but what would be Hillary Clinton advantage, or what's her in her mind to support Barack Obama if she was not a friend or don't want to associate with him? What's her motivation to not support him?
Political
what, for future elections or?
Yeah, well, she's part of the Democratic Party, and as one of the leaders of the Democratic Party, you have to get behind whoever the leader is. It's just bad form not to. I mean, politically, it would be death to her if she didn't publicly say that she now supported him since she was out. Every candidate in every political party has done that because it really is, you know, bad form not to do that. But I think from what I've read, she is biding time. You know, at this point, she doesn't expect that he will win, and McCain will probably be elected. McCain will probably not be reelected, and she may run again, and I think she will.
So it's for future elections. It's very political. But, you know, the thing about it is that when I've read about them, I have read that they were friends. So this is the first time that I'm hearing that they don't really like each other.
From what I've seen, it doesn't seem like either one of them likes the other.
Because, I mean, they almost believe it in the same thing. They both is against the war. They both, correct me if I'm wrong, they both believe and it's okay to be married together as you know, two men and two women. They both believe that.
I believe that Senator Obama thinks he's okay for civil unions, but not marriage. I may be wrong.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
But either way, I think Clinton
also. I think just Clinton, though, a lot of what she says, she'll do the opposite of what she says, depending upon what the climate is. So I think she's a little bit more conservative than Obama is, but they do have very similar beliefs on things, and I do think that she would endorse civil unions as well. I don't know about marriage for either one. I don't think it's politically correct for them to say that they endorse same-sex marriage because most of the country is still against that.
Well, and that's what we have to do. People of God, we have to pray, seek God's face, and be led by the Spirit. We also have to do our due diligence, which is research, and find out who the candidates are across the board. Now, we're talking about if Hillary Clinton, as she has dropped out, we need to know Barack Obama and John McCain, I believe that's his name. Yes, John McCain. We have to research their background, see who they are, what they believe, and what they're going to endorse as president. What are they promising? And then be led by the Spirit when we pull that lever on election day.
I think also not just what they say they believe, because as you pointed out, politicians will say anything.
Yes.
Including, you know, McCain. I've seen him say things that he doesn't vote. And so what we need to look at more than what they say is what they've done.
Amen. And the thing again becomes, do we vote? I mean, do we vote? Can I vote in good conscience for a liar? Or can I vote in good conscience for someone who's in adulterous relationships? I mean, that's the thing. As Christians, and I want the Christians to call in and let me know, and those of you who are here, feel free to let me know, because we said already, yes, we should vote because we're part of the society and we want to have a voice as to, in, as to who's leading this society. But do we vote in good conscience for somebody that we know has not the the moral fabric that God requires? I mean, it's not a church thing, but...
No, I think the Senator McCain's mother put it best, that the country will hold their nose and vote for McCain. His mother said that.
I saw that.
But I think that's the. I think it's really the truth. She speaks with great wisdom. I think.
Now, why did she say that?
Because nobody liked him.
They were holding. They were holding their nose. And vote for McCain. And now, why will they vote for McCain even though they don't like him? That's what I. Did she give a reason?
Well, they don't like certain things about him, but he is the. She's saying he's the better choice. I feel he's the better choice based on experience, because Barack Obama really has very little experience in a lot of areas. McCain has quite a bit of experience. He's much older and has gone through a lot of, you know, but there are a lot of things both of them say that I don't like, a lot of directions that both of them are going that I don't like. But the point is, you don't have a choice of who you'd like. You have a choice of who is there. So even if you don't feel like they are the perfect candidate, there is none except the Lord. But you can't pull the lever for the Lord, so you got to hold your nose and pull the lever for who your conscience tells you
the
Lord is leading you. Yeah.
Right, that was the question I asked. And again, the phone lines are open, 646-652-4832. I just want to say I was in the hair salon getting my hair done. That's why I asked you that question, JoJo, because when I was in the hair salon getting my hair done, I was reading an issue of Newsweek, the New York magazine, New York, and there was an interview there where the columnist, the person who wrote the article, actually said that it's unfortunate, but on Election Day, many Americans are going to wake up, they are Democrats, and they're going to wake up and say, I have to vote for McCain today because I just can't bring myself to pull the level for that black guy.
Oui.
And that thing hit me like a ton of bricks. You know,
yeah,
here I am.
Put it that way.
That was the way it was put. And it's not the first time that I've heard it that way. And, you know, I was sitting in
my
hair salon.
Send him my book, Pastor Rebecca.
I'm sorry?
Send him my book.
You know what?
Not communicated very well.
Exactly. That's in your book, because I told you she has written books on communication. But you know what that person did? That person told the truth. You know, as much as we would hate to believe that that's the condition of America, America still has, in both ways, I'm not talking about just whites against blacks, but even with blacks against white. America still has a great amount of race, still has a great amount of race issues, still, even to this day, and no matter what we say today.
I don't think as much of it is a black-white issue as it is a liberal or conservative issue, or it may be an experience issue, or it may be other issues that have come up in the news that has to do with their associations or their character, or they're telling the truth or not telling. Each one of them has some skeletons in their closet. So
exactly.
I mean, you know, I think really, though, the point is that there are a lot of Democrats who are disappointed and will vote for McCain, and there are a lot of Republicans who are equally disappointed but will vote for McCain, and I think that's why he will win, but I really honestly do not see him being reelected.
You don't see him having a second term, but you see, so you see McCain being our next president.
I think so.
Yeah. How about you? Anybody else on the air who would want to add anything to that?
Well, I think, speaking from a Christian point of view, as the Word of God says, we have to pray. And there's a thing called corporate prayer, where we pray as a body and we fast, and then we relieve ourselves from any responsibility after that. So I think every listener should pray and fast and let the Lord lead them into what you know, what he wants us to do.
I love Pastor Fred. I just love you. Because she's like, we're going to pray. We are going to pray.
Because we have no other choice, and we're responsible for what we know. And we know the Word of God says, when we don't know what to do, what we're supposed to do, pray and fast, and greater miracles we will do, you know, because Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father, he's the intercessor. So.
And ultimately, at the end of the day, it's not going to be whether you're black or white or oriental or Indian or red or blue or purple. It's going to be, are you saved? Do you know Jesus for the salvation of your soul, the forgiveness of your sins? It's going to be, have you received him as Lord and Savior? Have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Have you lived your life worthy of the call of God that's been on your life, that's on your life? We have to know, are we walking uprightly as Christians? Like you said, Pastor Fred, there's a great amount of concern in my heart, more so. That's why I haven't done an election program, because in my heart is more what's going on in the church, in the body. And the body is sick. We know, we can't even look out at America and say, you know, America is this and America is that, because we know that America, there are a lot of Americans that love God, and there's a lot of Americans that don't love God.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the thing about it is those who love God, those are the ones that, you know, we as the body are going to be primarily concerned about. And then those who don't love God, those are the ones that we evangelize and tell the good news about God, because it's not God's will that anyone should perish. So, yes, we are concerned about America as a whole. And ultimately, the only thing that's going to help is prayer, because God wants us to be on the wall. But we can't evangelize if we're not living right.
Amen.
If you have a church full of 10,000 people, and they got people coming in there with bikinis and thongs, something's wrong.
Amen.
Something is wrong.
You know what, Pastor Rebecca? You know, I think is, you know, I mean, the Bible itself explains it all, that before anything gets any better, it's going to get worse. And you have to almost to expect all these things happening now, because it's already foretold by Jesus and the apostles of old, how the love of many will coax, and and people will call what's evil good, and what they call good evil. The main thing is that the church do not get corrupted with that idea or that concept.
Yeah.
That should be, I mean, okay, if you want to put a law, safe sex, you know what, I have to almost, almost, I can't fight against it, because they serve another God, okay? We just got to pray that that doesn't creep inside the church.
Yes.
We're almost living in the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, the time of Noah.
Yes.
At the time of the first century church, that our voice doesn't really matter anymore.
My God.
That
Hallelujah.
we need to encourage ourselves. We need to keep ourselves pure. Even if they want to put a homosexual as president of the United States, you know what? They're going to give that count to God. But we, as the body of Christ, we have to live holy and righteous before God and before man. And we know that we are going to be put in prison for that.
My
we are
God.
Going to be persecuted for that. But the Bible says, count it all joyful when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing that our patience, okay, we need to work in our patience, and we need just to hold on. You know, right now, I will vote, you know, by faith I'll vote for whoever. But I know I need to keep myself pure and holy unto God.
Amen.
You know, and if they want to destroy themselves in their sin and their condemnation, you know, let them do it. What counts is my relationship with God.
Amen.
And the body of Christ. We need to really encourage each other to stay faithful to our conviction, that we will not be like the churches in Revelation that they started good in the beginning, and then when they got rich and when they got wealthy, they backslide.
Wow.
You know, we need to really, like Pastor Fran said, and I know the pastor, she's a New Yorker, you know, and it's important, you know, and it's important to really, you know, get into prayer. Right now, we need to pray more than ever. I think we need to have vigils every service and really seek the face of God, because let me tell you, the church, if the church does not fight, it's going to be eliminated.
Yeah, and you know, the thing about it is, that, you know, God deals with the churches in the Book of Revelations, and we have to read that book. I don't think enough Christians are reading the Book of Revelations. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I don't think enough of us are even reading the book, mm-hmm. the Bible, and that's why this program, Power in the Word, is here. And I don't say that as an insult, because I remember when I was a new Christian, I didn't want to read the Bible. I just felt that I didn't need to, or I didn't have enough time to, or it was boring, you know. But God, the Spirit of the Lord, drew me to want to get into the Word and know what the Word is so that I could have a better quality of relationship with God. So when I say we don't read the Bible enough, that's a word of exhortation, that if you pick up that Bible and start reading your Bible more, you will be amazed at the way that your life will improve, and that you will go into kingdom living, which means that you will truly enter into the rule and reign of Jesus Christ as Lord, not just Savior, but as Lord over your life, because now you have the Word to feed the Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit can continue to prompt you in the direction that you should go. And you know, as I say that, I'm thinking again about pulling that lever on election day. And you said, Evangelist Luciana, you said there might even be a homosexual running for president. We had that in New Jersey. Governor Jim McGreevy, New Jersey, where I live, James McGreevy, a lot of people probably know him because he's in the news getting a divorce from his wife. But he ran for for governor. And at our old church, they would let the politicians come in. So he came in, and his opponent came in, and he came in talking about how he loved God, and, you know, how he quoted scriptures and did a sermonette, and a lot of people voted for him. And then, you know, into his term, we find out that he was on the down low, that he's actually a homosexual man. Who is now living with his life partner, and they're fighting over the little girl and everything. But the thing of that, what I'm saying is, how can we in good conscience, you know, we didn't know that about Governor McGreevy, but when we know stuff about people and it's anti-Christ, it's against God and against what God has commanded, how can we in good conscience vote? I mean, that's the question that I have to go on my face and pray and say, God, how can I in good conscience even pull a lever for a candidate that endorses stuff that you don't?
I think you're right. You need to pray.
Yeah.
Amen.
Just bottom, every single time. And that's why I think, you know, you don't stick to party lines regardless, because the parties change. And the line moves, and the candidates say things that maybe are exact opposite to what they've done. We, as Pastor Fran said, too, we need to pray first and be led each time.
And if God says no, then on an individual level.
Yeah.
Thank you, JoJo. That's on an individual level. As you read near election day, because the primaries are over, most of us have voted in the primaries. As we near election day, we have to consider these things about our candidates. Whether they're Democrat or Republican, but what are their stances? How do they stand on the issues? What do they feel about the war? What have they said about health insurance and taxes? What is their stance on abortion and same-sex marriages, civil unions? And then what have they shown in this walk that they've put before the public, and even the walk that what news has there been about them to say who they are? What is the character of this person? And then what is God showing you about these people? What is God showing you about who you should vote for? It definitely should be spirit-led, not because it's a white woman or a white man or a black man, but what is God showing you? And about Obama, I don't know why we keep calling him a black man anyway, because his mother was white and his father was black. His mother was from Kansas, I believe. His father from Kenya. So I just wanted to throw that in, you know, for good measure.
The truth shall set you free.
Oh, hallelujah. Jay Strickland said thanks. You know, I mean, really, when we think about it. Lord Jesus, help us.
You don't think that's why he's running now, because of his mother?
being white.
Wow.
Not because because who he is, he maybe he's, they let him that far because they know that his mother's white.
Hmm.
But what would happen if he had his mother and father was black? Would he go that far?
Hmm.
I don't think it had anything to do with his mother or his father, and actually he never really mentions his mother. He mostly only refers to his African-American side. He does not really refer to his mother as white.
You know, I have to say this.
I think he really wants to refer to any race in particular. He's made it really.
Well, he did a beautiful race speech right after his pastor, his previous pastor, made those remarks that hit the news. He did a beautiful speech on race. If you haven't heard it, Google it for those of you who are listening and hear the speech, because it was just poignant. It was beautiful. I want to just again welcome all of our listeners. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is a different edition of Power in the Word. We're actually talking politics, and we're doing it gracefully. I love it. Thank the Lord. I thank God for people of God. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm on the air with some people of God. I want to just do something because God just showed me in the spirit. He's all things are possible with God. I am an African-American woman, a black woman. Evangelist Luciano, Jose Luciano, what is your heritage?
I'm a Hispanic.
Hispanic. Jojo Tavares, your heritage?
Well, I'm white. I'm actually from Russian heritage.
And Pastor Fran?
Well, I got a salsa and pimiento, as I say. My mother's Puerto Rican. I have African descent. My great-grandfather was African. And my father was Mexican Indian, Aztec Indian.
My God.
And I was born and raised in the Bronx.
Amen.
I used to live in New York.
And Jojo, you used to live in New York, but you're calling from across the country right now, right?
I am.
Oh, God bless your system.
Been a while.
Then, but see what God can do, how beautiful it is, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And we're having a tough conversation. We have, like you said, Republicans and Democrats on the phone, black, white, Hispanic, across Russian, all across the board. We have everything. And we are having a good conversation. You know, and that's the thing about it. And we're being real about it because you have to be real. And you have to be open about it. And no one's being insulting. And that's why we can do this. We can do this because if we don't talk about the big pink elephant and continue to ignore it, then we cannot have closure and we cannot have healing. And I believe that God has, in the kingdom of God, like you said, somebody once said that the most segregated hour is on Sunday morning. You know, and I don't think that that's a race thing. I think it's more because like attracts to like. You know, we will gravitate towards people who are like us because that's our level of comfortability. And it may be the same case when it comes to election time, where it's a level of comfortability to say, you know what, I'm going to vote for this person because this person is like me. Does that make you a racist? No, it doesn't.
I think, though, we need to be very careful when we say like me. We need to, looking toward their inside. And I think a lot of people may not be, it's more, as you said, it's like a comfort level. It's something that you're familiar with, familiarity. But I think we really, and I've always done this. I don't know if I must be weird or what, but I mean, I've always had friends that were of all shapes, sizes, colors, religions. I mean, I have never based anything on their outside. I have always looked to the inside because to me, there really isn't a whole lot that you can classify people because people are so incredibly unique.
Well, Jojo, you're special. I've known Jojo for a couple of years. She's part of my group. I have a Rise group. For all of those who are wondering why we keep talking about this group, I have a Rise group, Christian Women of Power, and it's over 350, maybe more. I don't count. I haven't looked lately, but it was approaching over that mark the last time I looked. Women of God, Christian women. And we come together to encourage each other and exhort each other. And and sharpen each other in the Lord. And we are nationality across the range, and we are Christians. That's our nationality in that group. And JoJo's been with me for a couple of years since the group started, and she's special. She's just so special. Her testimony is awesome. I have to have her back to give her testimony. But the thing about it is, JoJo, everybody of white heritage is just not like you. I mean, that's just the deal. And you know, it's just the deal. We have a lot of people. And just look at what Jay Strickland said when I was talking about President-elect Obama, that his mother is white and his father is black, but because he has a black parent, he's considered black. And, you know, I mean, that's just the way it is. If you have a black parent on either side, you're not considered to be both. You're considered to be either or. And
well,
either
I think,
or.
So it really does depend on what you look like on the outside as people classify.
See what you just said?
No, but I think how they classify, not what's, because like I said, I don't think labels are of any real use. These labels to me are just dumb. But, you know, and hanging a label on somebody is ridiculous because everybody's so unique. But what I'm saying is people look at somebody and classify them a particular color, I think more based on how they look rather than how, you know, what the parents are like. Because when I went to high school, there were children of mixed marriages, and the ones who were darker were considered black, and the ones who were light were considered white. And just based on how they looked. So, I mean,
well,
if you're going
to
classify
them,
you have to put a label on them.
Yeah, you're right. You had to pass, you know, because that goes all the way back. If you look white, you had to look white enough to pass. You couldn't look like a light-skinned black person. You know, that's why there's still a great divide. You know, even though we on this call, we on this program today have gotten beyond the color, liking each other or accepting each other because of the color of our skin. We love each other because we have a common ground. Primarily God. You know, all of us here know that we're here and we love the Lord. All of us love the Lord. But there are some places that you can go where you would be totally out of place. You know, even in this, like a white person can come to, let's just say, because we're on this issue, to a black church. And the black people in the church will notice that there's a white person in the church. I mean, really, that doesn't mean that they're racist or that they hate that person, because
no,
racist
just,
is...
You're right. I mean, I'm very, very light-skinned, and I practically glow in the dark, which is what, you know, my legs do, so that's why I wear pants. But, I mean, to cover that glare. But, you know, it is noticeable. You do notice that your eye goes to the differences. But I think, you know, we really need to get past all of that, because
yes,
everybody is such an individual and such a... I mean, we were each individually created by the Lord.
Yes.
To be unique, and that's who we are. And I think to slap a label on somebody is just...
You know, Pastor Rebecca?
Yes.
You know, when JoJo was talking, we bring back the memory. My cousin, he's a young boy, and we was walking, and there was a lady that had your complexion. And something, you know, he said something to me, and he looked at her and says, I told her, you know, that's a black sister. And he tells me, no, she's not black, she's brown.
Wow. Yeah,
and,
kid,
you know,
wow.
And it just hit me. Like, you know, I mean, we don't even know what color we really are.
My God.
You know? And
yeah,
you know,
there is no words.
Yeah.
Describe each color, no.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I mean, I look at you, Pastor Rebecca, to me, if we go really by color,
yes,
okay, you're not black, you're brown.
Yeah, I'm a nice, a caramel brown. I'm a beautiful brown.
Yeah, you know, like me, I'm light skinned. I can imagine JoJo how she looks. I mean, I'm white, in white complexion, okay? If I go to, like, a Hispanic church, they would think I'm white or Russian or Italian. If I go to a black church, they think I'm white and everything. Now, if I go to a white church, they think I'm Hispanic. because positive the way.
I had that too. And actually, I'm married. My husband was born in Mexico. So when I'm with him, a lot of times people think I'm Hispanic. Of course, my last name is Hispanic. But I'm not.
Right. No,
so they'll start speaking Spanish to me, and unfortunately, I don't understand a word of it. So.
Wow. Well, you know, it, like I said, we're different, you know, because I'm looking in the chat room. I don't know who's in the chat room that's on the phone, but that's on the air here. But as we look in the chat room, Jay Strickland is saying that the U.S. is playing the race card. And Jay Strickland, you can call in if you like. The number is 646-652-4832. She's saying that the U.S. is playing the race card. I asked her to elaborate, and she said that look at the people who are focusing on his name, Obama, relating him to Muslim. Then with Pastor Wright saying that if this is his pastor, then Obama must have the same views. Do they do the same thing with Rush Limbaugh? They didn't do it to Senator Jesse Helms, one of the biggest racist senators, and he was open about being racist. So, and then Truth Lady Sabrina says, yes, especially since we are coming down to the end. And Jay Strickland's at work, so she can't call. So I just wanted to read their comments that we are, although we have made progress, and we've gotten beyond that in our intimate circles. I choose to get beyond it. You know, I love people. You know, it doesn't take because when you have the love of God, you have the love of people. You know, that's just the way it is. But we realize that everybody in America doesn't have the love of God. That's just the way it is. And because of that, racism, which is, I believe it is a sin, is still prevalent. And it's, like I said, it's not white against black only, but it's black against white, and then it's other races against other races. And then you have black-on-black racism where, like you said, you're not light enough, or if you're not dark enough, you're discriminated against.
Yeah.
Within the races because of the color of your skin. So what we need to do is, just, especially as Christians, we can start. The Bible says that we're the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because of the power that we possess in Christ, we can start making a difference. We can't change the world, but we can change our perspective, and we can change the people that we impact. We can help the people that we impact to see things differently, to see things the way that God sees them.
I think, too, the media is responsible for a lot of the stirring of the races and labeling and things like that. I think people, if left to their own devices, would get beyond that. But because they keep bringing up race and because they keep labeling this race and that race, really, it doesn't matter anymore. And there's so much interracial marriage anymore that how do you really even qualify that anymore? I mean, it shouldn't matter anyway. You should not even discuss, slapping labels on people.
Wow.
And I think the media makes it a race issue a lot of times when it isn't a race issue, and that stirs things up and gets people all riled up, where we just need to, you know, that part of who we are is part of who we are, and the color of our skin is whatever it is. But the person inside is what matters.
Amen. I love you, JoJo. I tell you, because your heart is just so right. And the thing about it, but it's hard, because everywhere that you go, they ask you your race. You fill out a job application. They want to know your race. Do you want to rent an apartment or lease an apartment? They want to know your race. Buy a house. I mean, what does me getting a mortgage have to do with my race? So even though we would like to say that it's just the media or just this or that, it is a big problem here.
I have a challenge for all of you. What if we all put down as our race, we're Christian?
Ooh.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. That would probably not help us to get hired on a lot of jobs, because we're discriminated against. as Christians.
Well, that's, yeah.
That's really, you really want to talk about discrimination and persecution.
Yes.
As
I talk about
Christians.
That on my show. I
yeah.
talk about that on my show. But, yeah, I would really love, I don't like answering that question because it's really irrelevant to a lot of things. I mean, unless you're looking for me and you want to know what I look like to be able to spot me, you know, I'm going to have to say I'm light-skinned, I'm 5 foot nothing, I wear thick glasses, and I got mousy brown hair. I mean, that's how you spot me.
And you're
me.
Wonderfully and fiercely made. Amen.
But, you know, other than that, I don't see why we need to. So I'm going to put down I'm purple or I'm Christian when they ask me.
You know, now
I
somebody
work
for said,
myself.
Somebody,
I'm not
Jay
looking
Strickland
for employment.
Said,
I can
JoJo,
do that.
JoJo, Jay Strickland said, if you put down purple, you definitely would not get in. They would think they would call the white coats for you, the white jacket, the straight jacket.
The little men in white coats. I think,
well,
yeah, they've called worse for me.
Okay, but let's move. I want to talk about one last thing since it's state and the phone lines are open. 646-652-4832. Again, this is Pastor Rebecca, and I'm doing Power in the Word. I did a 2-hour show today because I only have today. So I'm putting it all into today. If you can stay, stay with me. If you have to go, God bless you and thank you for being with me. But today we're talking about the I'm sorry? Okay, somebody had to go. Okay, today we're talking about the presidential election. I want to talk because Hillary Clinton news showed on CNN that she has dropped out and that she is endorsing Barack Obama. Somebody mentioned Pastor Jeremiah Wright, who is Obama president-elect Obama's previous pastor. And because of Pastor Wright's comments that hit the news, a lot of people now, the same article that I read in New York, in the New Yorker, said that people are now not looking at Barack Obama as a candidate who happens to be black, but they're looking at him as a, they're not looking at him as a presidential candidate who happens to be black, a black man, but they're looking at him as a black man running for president. And do you feel that Pastor Jeremiah Wright's comments hurt Barack Obama as far as him being elected for president?
I personally think they have. You know, I don't see, from my perspective, how he could be in the church and not understand what he believes. So I have problem with that. But the question of whether or not his comments when they came out did hurt him, I saw the numbers, and I think it did. And I think some of the other things that came out also did. I think some things that came out about Hillary Clinton hurt her. I don't think you can run for president and have things like this come out and have it not really hurt you.
Right, right.
Because it's
right. So
it's
you
protection.
Think that Barack Obama did the right thing by leaving his church?
Yes, I mean, if that's truly what your pastor believes and you don't believe that, then you should not be there.
Amen, amen.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, we're not called to hate. We're called to love. And I don't know Pastor Jeremiah Wright. I only heard the clippings from his sermons. I did not go and hear the whole sermon. I can't judge him. I cannot call him a racist. I do believe that those remarks, the way that they came out, they could have been communicated differently. Like we're communicating today, you know, he was saying that America has a race problem. And, you know, basically that's some of the stuff that we've said. I've said it, but, you know, I don't believe anybody got offended by the fact that I said it.
No, well, it was the way that you said, but, you know, just like I say, it's how you say things. But I think some of the things that he said were offensive anyway. Yes, there is a race issue in this country. There absolutely is a race issue in this country on all sides. You know, it's unfortunate. We've come a long way, but we're still there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me ask a question, Reverend Right. Obama's pastor. Is he Baptist?
I don't know.
That's a good question. I don't know the denomination of the church, but one of the things that was a problem in the beginning of his running for president was that they were unashamedly Christian and unashamedly black or African, unashamedly African. So I think that that hurt him. Truth Lady Sabrina says that they're not Baptist. They're not Baptist.
Awesome.
So I don't really know what the denomination. We're non-denominational. I was saved in a church that was Baptist by denomination, holiness by choice, and Pentecostal by experience. But it was a Baptist church. So when we started our church, my husband and I, we did the we believe in baptism, the baptism, and water baptism and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We're holiness by choice and Pentecostal by experience. So we took that same thing into our church, but we're non-denominational. We didn't put a denomination. We're Christian. We're Christian. So, but as far as that church, there's a whole bunch of controversy surrounding that church because they just had a priest, a white priest, come in and mock Hillary. And he really messed up. And I believe that this was the thing that made Barack Obama say, that's it, I got to get out of this church. You know, I think his name was Father Fergler or something like that, but he came in and he was really, really saying that Hillary was crying when she showed those tears that day because a black man was stealing her show. And
This
was a white priest.
It just goes to show you that dumb things are said by people of all colors.
Of all colors, yes.
But you don't think that Pastor Reich individual, maybe he it was like arranged that way to really make, you know, I mean it's really
sad. Set up.
Yeah, to really attack her personally, you know. And it's better, and this is what's funny, it's better for a white person to insult another white person than a black person. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it looks better. It looks better to the eyes, you know, within the race card. It's better for a white person to insult another white person, than whether it be a Hispanic or black, to insult a white person. Then you could say, you see, he's racist. But when a white person does it to a white person, it's normal.
Perception is not there, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's
so
out
that's
of order, but it's not racist, right?
Yeah, so I believe he brought him in. And again, according to, they think he's from the Church of Christ.
Church of God and Christ. I think I did see that. A Truth Lady, Sabrina, said that she was going to check for us. But I think you're right, Evangelist. I think it is Church of God and Christ.
And majority of them, they do allow anybody to be anywhere, you know, in their pulpits.
Amen. Let us take a break. I want to read this proverb for today's proverb as before we continue with the conversation, just to put the word of God in here. I believe it's relevant to us as Christians. It is relevant to us as Christians. I believe that we should read a proverb every day. There are only 31, so you can even go whatever day of the month it is and read that proverb. Today's proverb that I plan to bring before I came on and that I'm going to share now is Proverbs 3. The blessing of wisdom is what they've titled this particular proverb. And it says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase. Hallelujah. And I'm going to stop there. But Proverbs is powerful. And as we read the Proverbs, we get wisdom about everything in life. You know, and the thing about it is even this, that we can't lean into our own understanding. And I believe that all of us have been saying that this whole program, that if I'm not going to lean on intellect, I'm not going to look at opinion, I'm not going to look at what other people are saying, but I need to pray. I need to trust in the Lord. I need to incline my ear to hear what God is saying, and then I need to move with the Spirit and believe that God has given me that wisdom. The book of James said if anyone lacks wisdom, that he should ask God, and God would give it to him. And it says that God would give you wisdom, but when you get the wisdom, believe that you have received it. Because it says, if not, you're double-minded, and a double-minded man is unstable in all of his or her ways and cannot expect to receive anything from God. So we have to know that even with this upcoming election, with everything that's been in the news, you know, there are going to be campaign smears, there are going to be setups, there are going to be people bringing out, somebody had to go in and pull out the archives of Pastor Jeremiah Rice's sermons to say, look, see who he's hanging out with? This is his pastor. This is his spiritual leader. You think that Barack Obama, I think his middle name is Hussein Obama, is not going to practice reverse discrimination against white people if he becomes president? So that's a very real but when you put that in front of people, especially in the wake of 9/11, that's a very real concern that people would have to say, you know what, we are on Amber Alert. You know, you can't even be brown skinned and have a Muslim name without being suspect as a country because of what happened on 9/11. So we can't really be mad at people, you know, because they're taking caution. But by the same token, we can't discriminate against this man because he has a middle name Hussein, because his father is Kenyan. His father's from Kenya, for God's sake. So, and if I'm not mistaken,
he can't be responsible for what his parents named
him. Right, that's what I was going to say. And if I'm not mistaken, I think his mother raised him. Was he raised single by a single parent? I believe it was his mother. And that makes me question again, why isn't he talking about his mother's side of the family? You know, why would he not? Especially since his mother sacrificed and raised him as a single parent. So we have to, like you said, look at the whole picture before we pull that level and say, I'm voting for Barack Obama because finally we get to have a black man in the White House. Believe me, if it be God's will, we will have a black man in the White House. But that, again, as we have said during the whole time that we've been together, that's not the most important thing. It's not the principal thing. The principal thing is he God's man? Is it the man that God has ordained, or the woman, or the person that God has ordained to be president? And guess what? God said, I raise up people for noble purposes and people for lowly purposes. You never know. Guess what? Scripture has to be fulfilled. Whoever gets in, they may be the most wicked person in the world, but if that's going to fulfill God's purpose, then that's what the way it's going to be, because
Amen.
God's wrath will be unveiled. His wrath will be unveiled. So, hey, I know we had this program and we talked about it until we're blue in the face. No matter what shade we are, we're probably blue in the face right now because we've been talking about this thing, trying to make some sense out of it. But really, there's no sense to be made of it at all when you really think about it. And I wanted to talk about Jeremiah Wright and Pastor Jeremiah Wright, and he's militant for a pastor. And, you know, I believe that he overstepped the office. He should have been a politician. I believe he missed his calling. I believe that he should have been a politician. you know, perhaps he could have made a difference, helped to make a difference by speaking out against some of the injustices that have made him so angry. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is good. Isn't God good?
Amen. Amen.
Amen. God is good. And he's worthy to be praised. And this is the world that we live in. This is the world that we live in, but we're not of this world. So we wear this world like a loose-fitting garment, knowing that, you know, we're here to make a difference. We are here to make a difference. And it is my prayer that everyone listening today will not get enraged at the injustices of what's going on. Maybe we need, like Jesus, we need to get mad enough to stand up and speak out, like JoJo said, to speak up and speak out in love, though, and but not in hatred, to say, you know what, this isn't right. There was a Chris Rock, I believe, played president, and he said, it just ain't right. He said, it just ain't right. And he was cursing, so I'm not going to curse, but he said, it ain't right, you know, and that's what we need to do. We need to stand up and say, it just ain't right, or, you know, to be grammatically correct, it's just not right, you know, some of the stuff that goes on in this world that we live in, the abortions, the same-sex marriages, the, you know, us letting people teach our kids that it's okay to have two daddies or two mommies in our schools. So they're teaching our kids to have safe sex when they should be telling our kids not to have any sex. What has happened to the moral fiber of America?
That's what happens when you take God out of everything. And that's, and I absolutely agree with you, Pastor Rebecca. We need to stand up and speak out in grace and in truth, because what happened, I believe, ever since the Scopes trial, we as Christians did not react to that very well, and we were told to sit down and be quiet, and we did. God would have us stand up and speak out in love, but stand up and speak out.
Yes. Amen. Amen. And before people have to sign out, people, I know people are signing off. As I have had an extremely long program today. I never do 2 hours. But I wanted to just get everything out about this, because I won't be revisiting this topic unless the Lord tells me to. But I wanted to talk about this today. I'm off. I want you to know I won't be here tomorrow, and I won't be here on Thursday. We will be in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. My wonderful husband and I will be in Rocky Mount, North Carolina at TriFaith Ministries. And the website is TriFaith, TriFaith. ministries.org, and we want you to come out if you're in that area to see us. Jay Strickland, hey, Jay Strickland's in the house. I know that you live in North Carolina. If you're available on Thursday or Friday, come out and visit with us. We would love to. I would love to give you a hug. I don't shake hands. I hug women. I shake men's hands. But I would love to give you a hug. And my husband and I would love to meet you. He's preaching on Thursday night, the 5th. I will be preaching on the 6th, on that Friday. And I tell you, I am a fiery preacher, so don't mind me. I don't know how to act in the pulpit. Amen. I do have a way I can talk clearly without spitting and sputtering on the radio program, but I'm on fire for the Lord, and the zeal that I have for him definitely comes out in my preaching. Amen. Jay Strickland says she's coming on Friday. I'll be looking for you. Make sure that you come and give me a hug. I don't want you to come and hug me. Don't come trying to shake my hand. I want a hug. I get to finally meet you face to face. And also, the Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, they have a Back to God conference. Come Back to God. Isn't that an awesome name for a conference? Come Back to God. That's what we need to do. Come Back to God. And my husband and I have been invited, and we're just blessed to be able to come. So don't be surrounded by Jay Strickland says, don't be surrounded by 10,000 armor bearers so that she can get to me. You know, I don't have an armor bearer. I'm a pastor without an armor bearer. I have had people want to be. I have pastoral care. I have people that serve me water and help me with my Bible at times. But I carry my own armor. I carry my own armor. I believe that I have to walk to the pulpit with my fully armed, amen. The helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, my feet shod with the readiness to spread this gospel and the word, my sword, amen. So I kind of have a problem with armor bearers, but they may assign somebody to me, but I will make sure that, people can get to me, because I like to touch people, like Jesus, he has a common touch, and we have to keep our common touch. Amen. Amen. So going off, we have 10 more minutes, and the phone lines are open for anybody who just, you've been listening, and you just have to say something. The phone lines are open, 646-652-4832. And for those of you who are on the air that haven't said anything that you want to say, if there's anything that I haven't opened up and you have a comment or last words on this particular program about the upcoming election or today's proverb or worry, because we were talking about not being worried about who gets in or whatever's going on in your life right now. Trust God. Trust God. That's what that proverb says. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. If anybody has anything, you can go ahead, Evangelist, or who's still with me? JoJo, you could both go ahead and one of the others.
I just wanted to say, actually, how what a blessing it has been to be on. I normally don't have a whole lot of time, but when I heard what the topic was, and I know you, Pastor Rebecca, so I knew that this would be an amazing show, and I just want to thank you for doing the show and for having me on to speak my mind and for constantly putting everyone to, you know, pointing everyone to the Lord. And you know, it has been an absolute precious blessing to be here with you this morning. I do have to get going. I've got a few things that I need to do, but it has been an absolute pleasure and blessing to be here this morning.
Praise God. Thank you, woman of God. And JoJo, she's eloquent, and the Lord has used that gift to help her to found a company. He is the president. God is the president, and JoJo is the chief operator in her company, which is Art of Eloquence. And the website is artofeloquence.com. And she has a feature there, Foot and Mouth Man, where he puts his foot in his mouth all of the time. I think he got married, and he's just a piece of work. And you have to go over there at artofeloquence.com and check out Foot and Mouth Man. And JoJo has some resources there for communication. I want to endorse her company and just have you go over there. I have some of her material myself. For those of you who have children preparing for college, her daughter Chelsea has written a book on effectively communicating on the effectively preparing for college. I don't know the title. What's the title, JoJo, of that book?
The Homeschooler's Guide to Preparing for College. And it's Chelsea. Chelsea is Senator Clinton's daughter.
What's her name? Your daughter, Kelsey.
Kelsey, yeah.
Kelsey. Chelsea is. Kelsey. Kelsey Clinton. No, I'm joking. Kelsey Tavares is JoJo's daughter. She wrote this book when she was 17, The Homeschooler's Guide to Preparing for College. And if you're not a homeschooler, it's okay, because it has a lot of good stuff in there, resources in there for you to prepare for college, where to get loans and fill in the applications and everything is there. Everything is there. So check out JoJo at artofeloquence.com. And Evangelist Luciano also has a program here on Blog Talk Radio, Faith in the Air, or Faith on the Air. Which one is it, Evangelist?
Faith on the Air.
Faith on the Air, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And he is he's a preaching machine. I tell you, the Lord is going to bring him over to New Creation Christian Ministries to bless us. My husband wants him to come. We haven't forgotten. We're clearing out our calendar so that you could come over from New York to New Jersey to preach and bring a word from the Lord to our congregation. And our congregation is on fire, so they're going to receive you with the fire of the Lord, man of God. So we're going to get with you and collaborate our calendars for July or early August, July preferably, July. So we're looking forward to having you come. And you're at blogtalkradio.com/?
Faith on the Air program.
Faith on the Air. blogtalkradio.com/faithontheair. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
And I want to share with you also, and to those that are listening, put this way, I have my program at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the Lord just put in my heart to do the survey of the New Testament. So I'm starting with the New Testament. I'm going to do the survey and really break down what's the gospel and speak on each writer's in their the writer's belief who Christ was, and with the writers I'm talking about is Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John.
Yes,
because people got this idea that there's four gospel, but in reality there's only one gospel.
Wow.
People brought their own understanding of that gospel. And so I'll be really dissecting it, and really so I'm doing the whole. I'm starting first with the Gospels, then based on how the Lord leads me, I will continue with the starting with the Book of Acts to the Epistle, going to the Revelation.
Oh, that is going to be awesome! Look, that's seminary. He's going to take us to seminary. I tell you, we need to go. You want to go to Bible school? Make sure that you and get more in depth into the Word. Make sure you listen. Make sure that you listen to Faith on the Air. Wow, I feel God right there. That is awesome.
It just confirmed what you said, that a lot of people don't want to get into Revelation, and it's important. The Bible says that in 2 Timothy 2:15 that we need to study and show ourselves approval unto God. A workman, know how to rightly divide the word of truth. And,
yes.
And that's why we have so many doctrine and so many dogma and so many man's idea, because we don't spend time in studying the word of God.
Yes, amen, hallelujah. Well, I will, if I don't make the live programs, I'm going to listen to the archives.
Not only that, I'm gonna put it on a CD. I'm trying to do an unedited or edit the because I'm trying not to have people. I would like people to ask questions.
Yes.
As I'm doing this, but on a CD, it's not gonna be a question. It's really gonna be just a teaching. So it's going to be different from the archive. For example, you could hear it through the archive, but what I'm going to do is with the archive, when I burn it on the CD, I'm going to delete the questions and answer.
Okay, I see what you're going to do. So you'll have the CD, unedited set of CDs available also.
Yes.
Okay, powerful. Well, I'm looking forward to that. And I want to thank you, Evangelist Jose Luciano, for being with us on today. I want to thank everybody in the chat room. I see Tobias C. You signed in a little late into the chat room. I pray that you did hear the program. If not, go back and listen to the archives, because there's been some powerful sharing in the Lord on this upcoming election year, and some of the candidates that are, and all of the candidates that are up for office. And also, we've been in the Lord, so it's been a great time. I want to thank Jay Strickland for being with us. Always a pleasure to see you. Thank you, Evangelist, for calling in. And JoJo Tavares was with us. Pastor Fran stopped in, and she definitely added to this program. I want to let you all know that God totally is in control. He said that we should not worry. We should not worry, because neither one of us can, by worrying, can add a day to our lives. We cannot change anything by worrying. And another thing, worrying is the opposite of faith. So instead of worrying, just go ahead and continue to exercise and build up your faith in God. Our Proverbs for today was Proverbs 3, and it told us that we have to trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not onto our own understanding. Look, if you can't understand it, then don't worry about it. Just trust God and know that in all things, God is working together for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. Just love on God. Keep on loving God with everything in you and everything that you ever aspire to do, be, or have. Keep loving God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. You heard us. We were a Rainbow Coalition right here on this radio program. Black, white, Jewish heritage, but JoJo is a Christian. Amen. Hallelujah. She has her parents were atheists, but she, the Lord found her, amen, and called her and gave her a brand new life in Christ, amen. So we were all here together sharing in the Lord. And guess what? There was not one argument, and no one got offended. So I want to tell you today that God is good and worthy to be praised. So we know that Obama is running. I think Tobias C. is saying that it's over tonight. Obama is in. So we believe that Obama is in and that he will be running for president. So go in peace. Serve the Lord. Go and research your candidates before you vote in the main election and know that God still is in control. God bless you all. I won't be back until next week, so I'll see you next week. And Jay Strickland, I'll see you in North Carolina. So God bless you. Know that God loves you. And so do we, my husband, Pastor Anthony, and myself, here at Power in the Word. Peace and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we bless your name. We magnify your name, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for this time that you have allowed me to be here on the radio. Father, I ask that you would touch and bless each and every person that listens to this program. Bless each person that was here, God. Give us clarity in our minds as to who you would have us to vote for in this election. Father, I pray for the great divide. I pray for the race issues in America. And ask, Father God, that you would bring us together, even as Christians, especially as Christians, that there's no black or white, Jew or Gentile, that we are all Christians united in one body, knitly fit together to serve you, because that is our purpose and that is our goal. So we love you, Lord, and we praise your holy name. In the precious name of Jesus Christ we pray, amen, and praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go in peace and serve the Lord.